All right, Hebrews chapter 11 this evening is where I'd like us to look. Hebrews chapter 11. And as we look at this, I would like to begin reading at verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Again, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him," or God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Heavenly Father, we ask for your Spirit to move. We ask for your blessing, your help, and Lord, that each person here this evening would be revived. Those who need to be born again would be born again. And Lord, that your Spirit would speak to each one of us in a tailor-made way. We ask for your Spirit to move, please, dear God. In Christ's name we ask for reviving. Amen. Thank you. And you can be seated. Do you ever struggle with your faith? When circumstances go bad, a loved one dies, or you get sick, or you have financial problems, do you ever struggle with your faith? Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, I want to look at a couple of verses. Let's begin reading at verse 1 there. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Now in Hebrews chapter 12, is the microphone working okay, or is it a little echoey? It's a little echoey to me. Is it a little echoey, or it's good? Okay, it's good. All right, leave it alone. I'll trust you guys on it. Now, in Hebrews 12, it's the idea of us running a race, and the race is a picture of the Christian life. And it says that as we run the race of the Christian life, that we are not running it against each other to see who can be the most important Christian. A lot of times we make the mistake of comparing ourselves with each other. The problem with that is, if we think that we're better than another person, then we get what? Pride. And the moment that we get pride, we're not better than another person, right? And then if we're not as good as another person, then we get discouraged. And when we get discouraged, that's not good either for us. So the Bible says it's not really good for us to compare ourselves to each other, but it is talking about us running the Christian race, and it's not against each other, but it's for one thing, that when our life is done and we stand before God, that God says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, I am 54 years old. I know some of you thought that I was 64, but I'm 54 years old, and if I live and I preach until I'm 84, and then I die from eating too many Oreo double stuffed cookies, when I die, I want to hear God say, "You've finished the course. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did what I wanted you to do." And God has something for me to do that he doesn't maybe have for you to do. Something for you to do that he doesn't have for me to do. But the key is that we are willing to listen to God and do everything that he wants us to do. Now, as we run the race of the Christian life, it says that there is a sin which does so easily beset us, and that means holds us back from being everything that we are supposed to be for God. Now, what do you think is the sin that holds us back from being everything that we're supposed to be for God? I think in the context of Hebrews chapter 11, you can get an insight into that. Now, Hebrews 11 is called the Hall of Faith. Now, we were talking about my batting 1,000 for the baseball when I was in high school, and that I should be in the Hall of Fame for that. Well, we know that I'm just joking about that. But there are some great athletes that are put in the Hall of Fame because of their great achievements. Well, the Hall of Faith is the hall of people with great achievement when it comes to faith. And I would rather be in the Hall of Faith than in the Hall of Fame. Anybody else agree with me? So we want to be faithful. But what do you think is the sin which holds us back from being everything that we need to be for God? I think in the context of Hebrews 11, it is the sin of unbelief. Or maybe it's the weight of lack of faith. It holds us back. It keeps us from commitment. It keeps us from trust. And it keeps us from being everything that we should be. So what I want to do this evening is talk about faith, and I want to help us with our faith. Now, the first issue that I want to look at is the test of our faith. Now, a lot of people think that they're great Christians because they think about one great thing that happened in their life and their past. Now, last night, if you were here, you heard me share an example of God doing a great thing in my life. If you came here 2 years ago when I was here, you probably heard me share the same illustration. If you were here 5 years ago, you might have even heard it then. But I talk about how God did a great thing in my life where I needed a huge, large sum of money, and it's not about money, it's about God, and I prayed. And God gave me the exact amount that I needed. Now, that was a wonderful event in my life. But you know, when I get to heaven, God's not going to say, okay, you prayed, and that answer came, good job. What God wants to see is if I pray when the answer doesn't come. What God wants to see is that I'm faithful consistently, not just that one time. And many of you can think about a one-time thing that you did in the past, and you hang on to that, but in the present, you're not really being all that faithful to God. Now, folks, what God is looking for is endurance. All right, let's take a Bible and look at that, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of who? Him that diligently seeks him. Somebody who is diligently following him. Not, I came to you 3.5 years ago, or I came to you 5.5 years ago, but I haven't done a thing with you for the last 5 years. No, diligence and staying faithful, that's the kind of person that God rewards. Now, I look at people in the Bible, and I see them in the faith chapter, and I see Noah. What a great man of faith. He built the ark, and because he built that ark, the whole world was saved. I wish I could be like Abraham, who led the people and started the nation of Israel. I wish that I could have the faith of Moses and the faith of Sarah and the faith of all these people in the faith chapter, and they accomplished big things. Now, I was in the hospital one time, and I was visiting a man who was very sick. And as I was visiting him, I'm thinking it was probably the time for him to die. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And as I was visiting him, he was a great man of faith. He looked at me and he said, brother, would you come close? So I went close to him, and then he said, would you pray for me? So I didn't know if this godly saint wanted me to pray that he would die and just go on to heaven, or if he wanted me to pray that God would heal him. And so I said, what do you want me to pray for you about? And he said, pray that I would have faith. Now, I looked at this man, and I thought, he's got more faith in him than I have in me. And so I said to him, you're a deacon and you're faithful in that church. I said, you've done many wonderful things for God. I said, I ought to be asking you to pray that I would grow in my faith. I said, you've got more faith in your pinky than I have in my whole body. And folks, I really meant that. He was a great man of faith. But then the man said to me, no, Brother Mike, if I had faith, I would not be sick. Now, there is a denomination or a group of people that will teach that if you have faith, that you never will be sick. But let's really see if that's true. Take your Bibles and turn back to Genesis chapter 9, and we're going to look at kind of an odd verse, but there's a point for looking at it in Genesis chapter 9. This is about Noah in the faith chapter, and I want you to see what it says about that great man of faith. Genesis 9:29. It says, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he what? He died. All right, now here's the question. What happened to Noah here in this passage? Noah got sick and he died. So here's the question. Did Noah drop out on God so God killed him? Was Noah backslidden so God allowed him to get sick? No. He just got sick because even great men and women of faith have problems. Now then another person turned to Genesis 23, who is also in the hall of faith, and I want you to see verse 1. It says, and Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah, and Sarah died. I guess Sarah backslid because Sarah died. No, she died because even people that are living for God are going to go through trials, and we've got to be aware of that. There are too many people that are told, if you give your life to God, all of your problems will go away. That is a lie. God never says, we will not go through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, even if you go through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, get it, for I am with thee. So he never said we wouldn't go through trouble, like some of these people on TV do. They say, but he said that even if you go through trouble, I will be with you. But Sarah died. Now, if you look in chapter 25 and verse 8, it tells you of another person in the faith chapter. Look at that. Then Abraham gave up the ghost, Genesis 25 and verse 8, and died in a good old age, full of years, and gathered to his people. In fact, in Hebrews 11 and verse 13, it says something. These all died, every last one of them, in faith, some not having received the promise. Now, you know what this means? That each person in the faith chapter eventually died. Now, the man in the hospital said, if I had faith, I would not be sick. Why? He had the wrong thinking. And the wrong thinking was about to wipe him out. And wrong thinking will wipe you out. If you think that if I live for God, all my problems are going to go away, I'll try it. You are going to crash and burn. You will not be in church 5 years from now, and you will not be happy 5 years from now. And even worse, you will not hear, well done, good and faithful servant, at the end of your life. Why? Because you use God as a rabbit's foot, as a lucky charm. And it is absolutely true that if you follow God, your life will be so better than if you don't. But when you look at him as a rabbit's foot or lucky charm, you are going to crash and burn. And you will miss all the benefit of God in your life, and you will never hear, well done, good and faithful servant, you've run the race. Now, the man in the hospital was sick. Pray for me. If I had faith, I wouldn't be sick. So I turned him to Hebrews chapter 11, and let's look at this now. Everybody, please, very briefly, but look at verse 33. I read him about how in this passage, people had miracles because of their faith. It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousnesses, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, that's Daniel in the lion's den, quenched the violence of fire. Who did that? Who quenched the violence of fire? Anybody? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And all of these great stories. But then, notice verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. There were some resurrections, but others, get this and beyond, others were tortured. Christian people in the faith chapter, tortured, not accepting the deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others in the faith chapter had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings. They were beaten with a leaded whip. Moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, they were put in their prisons for their faith. They were stoned. They would take a Christian, dig out a hole, throw the Christian in there, pick up big rocks, throw them on him, and break their bones. After the Christian was almost dead, six people would pick up the biggest boulder they could carry, and they'd carry it over to that Christian, lift it up, and thrust it down on his sternum and crush it, or his skull, and crush it to finish him off. And it said they were sawn asunder. Notice that. Now, they used to take a Christian, pastor alluded to it, they cut a hole in the middle of it, of a log, put a Christian through the log, they cut the log in half, and they cut the Christian in half. Now, they wandered about in dens and in caves, being destitute. And you know what that means? The evangelist who tells you, if you live for God, God's going to make you rich. If you live for God, God's going to take away all your sickness. If you live for God and you have faith, God's going to take away all those things. No. If you accept Jesus as your Savior, you are guaranteed of this. You will have everlasting life in a wonderful place called heaven. That's what you're guaranteed of. And if you accept Jesus Christ, you're guaranteed of this. Even if you go through the valley of the shadow of death in this life, He is with you. He will not allow you to go through more than you can handle. You're promised of that. You're also promised that He will supply your need. You are promised of that. But you are not promised that this life is going to be always easy. That's why people quit. They thought it was a rabbit's foot. And they were not faithful because they thought incorrectly. Now, I would like to be a Moses. I'd like to be a Noah. I would like to be somebody who saw the great miracles. I would like to have the $50,000 a miracle that God intervened and provided for me every year of my life as I needed it. But I want you to know, if God never, ever, ever does a big answer to prayer for the rest of my life, and I know He will because He's faithful to provide, I'm going to serve God if nothing ever big happens like that again. Because the test of my faith is endurance. So what God is looking for from us is faithfulness. Now, with this, before we move on to point two, I want to ask you something. Have you been faithful? I'm not scolding you, but have you been faithful? Now, let's be honest. If you have not been faithful to church, you better change that. Now, that's not going to affect your salvation, but it's going to affect your standing. Every one of us, listen, will one day stand before at the judgment seat of Christ to give account of our body for what we have done, whether it be good or bad. And you might say it doesn't really matter how you live your life. It does matter. Because when you stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, you are going to be held accountable for your faithfulness or your lack of it. Now, first, the test of our faith is endurance. And I want to hear the well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, I have a hobby. I like to do a little bit of woodworking, and I build a few things. And one thing I learned is don't buy cheap tools. If you buy a cheap tool, it won't last very long. And the test of a tool is its endurance And the test of a Christian is if they endure. All right, now the second thing that I want to draw our attention to is the basis for faith. All right, let's look back at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it says, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." All right, now there are two legs that we stand on that give us faith. All right, here's the first leg. He that cometh to God must believe, get this, that he is. And then the second leg, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I have a friend named Woody, and Woody has since passed away. But years ago, Woody had diabetes, and they had to take off one of his legs. And he would not have minded this illustration, because when they were taking off his leg, Woody goes, "Timber!" So Woody wouldn't mind this illustration. So I've got two legs I can stand. Woody had no legs. He couldn't stand at all. And then if Woody had one leg, he could stand but not well. And if I had no legs, I could not stand at all. Now, folks, there are two legs that we stand on to keep going in our Christian faith. Here's the first leg. He is, not he was. Now, nobody is going to start a pursuit with the God that they aren't convinced even exists. And the reason people don't even believe he exists is because society has brainwashed everybody into thinking he doesn't exist. And they've explained away God. How? Evolution is science. Okay, here's science. There was a cold cloud. It spun around the sun. This is what they say. It went faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and broke apart in space and was flung in space in form of huge planets. Basically, there was a big bang and out came this universe. Now, if you take an M80 firecracker, which is about the size of a quarter stick of dynamite, and you take it and pack it with a mud ball and leave the wick out and let it harden till you have a good ball of mud, then light that firecracker, it will blow up that mud ball and it will blow that mud in different directions. And here's what I want you to ask yourself when it happens. When you blow up that mud ball and all that mud goes different directions, see if planets are formed. Now, the Bible says that God made all of these things. Either that's true or it is a lie. I say it is true. And nobody is going to seek a God that they're not convinced is even there. But he is. Creation declares the existence and the glory of God. There are too many details for this to have just happened. But even as Christian people, it's important that we stand on this. He is, not he was. Now, when you first got saved, here's what some of you did. You were in church. Why? You loved God. And you cared what God thought. Well, let me tell you something, friend. God still thinks the same way. You say, he loved me. He died for me. Guess what, folks? He still does love you. He did die for you. And you have all of these thoughts as to why you walked with God back then. But let me tell you what you forgot. That God is still that God. Now, when you first started and you were all excited about serving the Lord, now you're somebody who's been serving the Lord for 45 years now. Are you still serving him with zeal? Why have you stopped? Part of it might be that you have forgotten that the God that saved you then still is. Now, sometimes I know that there are reasons we wonder if God could still possibly be here. I remember when I was a kid, I was thinking, okay, if God made the world, and that was 6,000 years ago, not billions of years ago, but even 6,000 years ago, how could he still be alive? He'd be so old. Now, how many of you have ever heard a lady on her birthday, people say, how old are you? And she says, I'm 29. And everybody chuckles and says, how long have you been 29? She says, oh, 17 years. Now, we understand that we're getting older, but God is not getting any older. God is not getting any weaker. How old is God? He is eternal. Now, God is, not God was. I can remember wondering how God could still be there. But you know what? God gives us evidence that he's there. How in the world does the rain keep coming? How does that sun keep burning? How does our heart keep ticking? How does this whole thing just keep going on and going on and going on? It's because somebody's there making it happen. Now, God is, not God was. God still is. He didn't cease to exist. And every day we live, standing on that, he is, not he was, will help us. Take your Bibles, and I want you to turn over to Psalm chapter 89, and it gives us two testimonies to the eternality of God. Psalm 89. Now, we're talking about faith, remember. Without faith, we're not going to do well. And so we've got to keep our faith, and I'm trying to help us with that faith. The devil will come to you and say, ah, it's not true. The devil will come, oh, you got a little fanatical over silly stuff. But you got to remember these legs. He is, not he was, and that's true. And if you ever have a day where the devil says, ah, there's no God, you're just emotional. You've got two testimonies that always say there is a God. And they're up there and they're talking all the time. The sun and the moon. I look at verse 36, Psalms chapter 89. It says, his seed shall endure forever. How long? Forever. And his throne is the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, as a faithful witness in heaven. The sun and the moon, witnesses in heaven. When I was a boy, there was a girl I liked, and her name was Brenda. And I passed her a note. I said, I like you. Do you like me? Yes, no, maybe. Check one, pass it back. She checked yes. Best day of my life. So I passed her another note, and I said, do you want to go steady? Yes, no, maybe. Check one. She checked yes. And we were going steady. But I never sat by her. I never talked to her. My whole relationship was I would daydream about her. And I would tell the guys I like Brenda, and she would say to the girls, I like Mike. But we never sat by each other. But I, again, would daydream about her. So I'd be laying on my bed at night, and I'd be thinking about Brenda. And I would daydream about all of these things. And then I would go outside in my backyard, and I'd look at the sun, and I'd see the sunset, and I'd be thinking about my woman. And I'd be thinking, Brenda's on the other side of town, and she's seeing the same sunset. Isn't that dumb? I think it's romantic. Or maybe at night I'd see a beautiful moon and I'd look over that cornfield and I'd see it and I'd say, what a beautiful moon. Brenda's on the other side of town and she's looking at the same moon. Now that might seem a little bit weird, but I will say this is not weird to me. Every day that we look at a sun, think with me, we're looking at the same sun that Adam and Eve looked at when they were in the Garden of Eden. It's not weakening. It's not diminishing it at all. It's still burning. And every night we look at a moon, we're looking at the same moon that Noah looked at when he built the ark under that moon. Now, if a moon And a sun exists that long, then certainly the God who keeps it going is existing. Now, he is. And the testimony that he's around us and that he's here is creation. Of course, we have the Word of God. And it says that he will endure forever. So we've got to have that faith, okay? Don't let the devil shake you. He is, not he was. Don't let the culture move you. He is, not he was. Don't let discouraging events shake you. Don't let what's happening change your thinking. We know that he is there. So we've got to have faith, and one leg is he is, and a second leg is that he rewards. It says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, a woman came to me one time, and she says, how do you do it? How do you do it? I said, how do I do what? How do you keep from being bitter at God? I said, why should I be bitter at God? She says, you know, because your dad died. And so I'd given the story how my dad died when I was young. And she said, how do you keep from being bitter? I said, well, if you had something bad happen in your life, and she explained that she had, and I said, what was it? She said, her dad died. I said, how old were you when he died? I was 21. How old are you now? 27. I said, so you've been bitter at God for 6 years. And I said, man, there are two ways you can look at things. You could say the glass is half full or the glass is half empty. I got memories. I say the glass is half full. And you could say, God, thank you. I had a dad for 21 years. Mike only had one for 6. And we all have been blessed by God beyond measure. And when people start getting bitter at God and they act like, well, living for God doesn't pay off, so why would I want to live for God? Listen, God rewards. And who does he reward? Everyone who seeks him. There's never been one that stayed with God that did not benefit from it. Even the people that are cast in prison, even the people that are tormented, even the people, they go to a better reward because of their faithfulness. And we've got to keep the big picture and understand, I'm going to stick with God. I'm going to stay with holiness. I'm going to stay with faithfulness. Why? Because I know he's there. Why would I ever reject that truth? And I also know he is a rewarder of every one of us that follows him. Now, sometimes it looks like God might play some favorites, I know. Like, I think about when I was in evangelism for a number of years, I was needing some things. And a friend of mine went into evangelism for 1 year. I'd been in it for 10 years, and somebody bought him a 40-foot fifth-wheel travel trailer. You know what I said? Amen, amen. But you know what I thought? What about me, God? I'm ready for that now. And then, a little bit later, I needed a laptop computer, and I was praying, Lord, I need a laptop. Mine is a dinosaur. It's not working anymore. And I was trying to save up, and it wasn't coming in. And I had been trying. And you know what happened? A friend of mine went into evangelism 1 week. Somebody bought him a laptop computer. I said, amen, amen. But I thought, what about me? And all of these questions. Since then, somebody bought me a laptop computer, so I'm not bitter at God anymore. I'm only kidding about that. But someone did buy me one. But the point is, these things happen, and I wonder, did God really come through? Listen, in the Bible, you've got a man who was serving the Lord named Peter. He was put in prison, and people were praying for him to get out of prison. What happened? God did a miracle, and he got out of prison. There was a guy named John the Baptist put in prison. Do you think people were praying for him to get out of prison? Probably. What happened to him? He had his head cut off. Now, here's the question. Did God like Peter and not like John? You love them the same. All right, here's a question. Was John a better Christian or Peter a better Christian than John? No. The Bible says that John the Baptist was a better Christian than Peter. It actually says that. So what happened? Did God play favorites? All right, now we got to ask an honest question. Did Peter get delivered from prison, yes or no? Yes. Did John the Baptist get delivered from prison, yes or no? Technically, yes. Since the day he had his head cut off, he hasn't been sitting in one prison cell. Everybody follow me? Now, who got the better deal, John the Baptist or Peter? John the Baptist had his head cut off and he went directly to heaven. Peter had to continue going through some things on earth, and then eventually he was martyred. But the point is, God delivered them both. My brother Paul had cancer, and I was praying God heal him, and then my brother died. My other friend had cancer. We prayed God heal him, and he's been 25 years free. Now, did God deliver my friend? Yes. Did God deliver my brother? Yes. Since the day he died, he hasn't had cancer for 1 second. So we've got to keep the perspective on eternal things and understand God rewards. Now, are you being faithful? Are you being faithful? What area are you not being faithful in? Okay, revival meetings, come together, let's get focused, and let's get faithful. Have you gotten away from Bible reading? Have you gotten away from church attendance? Have you gotten into sin? Have you been unfaithful? Have you? Have you acted like God's not there anymore? He is there. And it's time to start acting like that. And have you forgotten the good that comes, that he rewards us when we're faithful? Now, the last thing very briefly that I want to hit is, number one, the test of our faith. Number two, the basis of our faith. Number three, very briefly, the value of our faith. All right, let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And you'll see the value of your faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now here's the value of faith. You can come to God. Now, I mentioned this a little bit ago. If you look up here, stay with me. Nobody is going to come to God that they don't believe exists. All right? We can give you evidence that God exists. So nobody's going to come to God unless they believe he exists. But we also have to understand there's value in faith. We cannot come to God without faith, and there's value in coming to God. And the value of having faith is we can come to God. Without faith, we cannot come to God. Now, there are two things that you cannot come to God for. Number one, as a Christian, you cannot come to God for strength without faith. When my father died, I remember going to my pastor, and I said, I miss my dad. And I would be crying because I miss my dad. And my pastor said, I know what you need, buddy. Go wait in the office. I'd go in the office and I'd sit down there and I was crying because I miss my dad. And the pastor would come down and put his arm around me and said, I know what you need, buddy. And he'd open up the Bible and he'd turn to Psalms chapter 68, I think. And he said, look here. God is the father to the fatherless, the protector of the widow. And you know what that means? God loves all little children, but he has a special place in his heart for you because you don't have a dad. I hung on to that. And so when I was growing up, I would pray, Father to the fatherless, I need wisdom. And he seemed to give it. I can remember when it came time for college, I didn't have the funds. So I said, Father to the fatherless, I need funds. And I don't have a dad, and my mom is living on Social Security. I need the money for college. I met a man, I bailed hay for him one time. He gave me $2,000 for my school bill. Pretty good paycheck, wasn't it? Later on, I needed more finances. I prayed, Father to the fatherless, I need more for my Bible degree. And a man who's a surgeon took an interest in me, and he ended up showing me his concern, and he gave me over the years, $8,000 plus for my school bill. God just brought these things along. And when I graduated, I still owed some money. And I remember praying, Father, the fatherless, I can't get into evangelism with this need. And a man took an interest in me, and he wrote a check and paid off the rest of my school bill. Now, it's not just about money, but by faith, I've seen God do some pretty wonderful things. And if God doesn't do one more wonderful thing, I'm still going to have faith in God. But when I have faith, I can come to God for strength. But also this, and we close. You can come to God for salvation from your sin, but the only way you can come to God for salvation from your sin is through faith. John 3:16 says it. For God so loved the world, not so hated the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, get it, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what that means? People are going to perish. You know what that means about you? If you don't have faith in Jesus, you're going to perish. And God doesn't want that. God so loved the world, not so hated, that he gave his Son Jesus, that if you would believe in him, that means put your faith in him, you would not perish, but you would have everlasting life. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved, get this, through faith. Now, I want you to turn in closing, look at this in illustration, and we're done. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28. This is talking of Moses, who through faith kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, keeping the Passover, and I'll close with this, there was a time when the death angel was supposed to go over, and it's a true story, and they were going to go, the death angel was going to go over the land of Egypt and Israel and was going to kill every firstborn child. How many are familiar with that story? Kill the firstborn child. And you know what? The angel said, Moses, if you put blood on the door and get everybody to put the blood of a lamb on the door, I'll pass over and I will not kill the firstborn child. That lamb will take the punishment that you deserve. So they would take a hyssop branch, dip it in a bowl of the lamb's blood, put a spot on the top, dip it in, a spot over here, dip it in, and then a spot on this side. The blood at the top would drop to the bottom. And you have a spot at the top, at the bottom, on the side, and the side. Let's go back to kindergarten. Let's connect the dots. If you connect top to bottom and side to side, what do you get? And here's the picture. You have got to put your faith in the blood of the Lamb that will die on the cross so that you can be delivered from the death angel. And the death in the Bible is eternal damnation in hell. And if you put your faith in what Jesus did on that cross, you will go to heaven and not go to hell. Now, do you know that you're going to heaven? Or do you just hope that you're going to heaven? I'll say this. If you don't know that you're going to heaven, you probably aren't. Because you never understood faith. And you have to put your faith in Christ for salvation from sin. Let's bow our heads.